passage of the Word of God we have read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, reading again at verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. That was what this man was told. And that is what you are told with regard to the worship of God and the ordinances of his house. It can all be summed up in that. If you wish an answer to what it all means, as he was asking an answer to what it all meant, that there was such activity, and this is the answer he received: Jesus of Nazareth passes by. That was a great answer to him, and it would be good if it would be an answer to you. But it was a good answer to him because he had a reason for asking concerning the activities that he was hearing. It was a good answer to him because he was conscious of his need of meeting with Jesus and of Jesus performing a miracle on his body. And so it will only be with regard to you if you are made conscious of your need of Jesus performing a miracle upon your soul, for nothing else will do for eternity for every one of you, but to be able to say, as this blind man could say, that Jesus performed a miracle. Whereas I was blind, he could say with another, I came to see. So it must be with every one of us if we are going to get any benefit from the fact here recorded that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This man was therefore, I say, conscious of his need of such a blessing as this. It meant much to him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by because of his condition, in which he was himself a blind, poor beggar at the wayside for how long we're not told. In another part of one of the Gospels, we are told his name, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And if you read the Bible accurately, you'll find that mention is made on this occasion of there being more than one beggar and more than one blind man. We read in the Gospel of Matthew of two blind men and so on, and in the Gospel of Mark, so that there is a reason for the name of this blind beggar. His name is given in another Gospel. He is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And we may deduce from that the reason why one name is given and the name of the other is not given. We may conclude surely that this one was well known. This one was known better, shall we say, than the other names, or the name of the other man. And why would he be better known? May we not conclude that it would be that he was there for longer. He was there much, maybe, longer than the other blind man who joined with him indeed, and who was at the same time granted his sight. For we read in the other Gospel that they both received their sight and they both went their way. But blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, his name is recorded in the Word of God, surely to indicate this, that he was well known for his blindness, well known for his condition. So there is here a message surely for those who feel that they are well known for their sin and sinfulness, who have a deeper knowledge, a thorough knowledge of their need of a miracle to be performed, who are made to know something of their condition spiritually, as this man knew his condition physically, so each one of us must come to know our condition spiritually. For now, we're not so much concerned with Jesus healing the bodies of men and women, though he does that by the use of medicine and providences. Still, it's all with a view to this. He came not into the world to save the body, though it is true he took our infirmities and our sicknesses in that sense. Still, it is to save the soul, to cure the soul, that Jesus of Nazareth is brought before us in the Word of God. And those then who are to benefit and who shall benefit from Jesus of Nazareth passing by are those who have come to have a sense of this, that they are as blind and as they're as needy. In that one word, they're as needy as this man was. They need a cure which no one can perform among the sons of men. This blind man had that at least. He knew this was true. There was no one ever heard, as the other blind man said. Was it ever heard that anyone ever heard of this, that a man who was born blind received his sight? The blind man in John said that. And Bartimaeus would be saying the same. And you have every reason to say the same. There's no one, and you must come to that, that no one, friend, can do you any good spiritually on your way to eternity. No man under heaven, no creature, no person, whoever it may be, however much they may desire it, however much they may even yearn for it, you must come to this in your understanding, that there's not a soul, there's not a creature under these heavens who can meet the need of you as a sinner on your way to eternity. That's what was here in the experience of this man. He was very conscious of this. He did not expect. He met with many, and he's sitting there for many years, we suppose. And even when the multitude came, and when the crowd around served, he did not expect for one moment that there would be any of the race of men, any of the children of men, who would be there to help him. They could give him money, and no doubt many a one gave him money. But we read of others who met another man who was lame at the temple, and we read of John and Peter going up into the temple, and the man looked up to them, for all he expected from man would be an alms, something to help us in our present condition. And when Peter and John said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name," in what name? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's where this man was. He made very conscious that there was none among the children of men could help him. What do you know of that? Are you troubled because you have a burden? Are you conscious of your condition? Is it a reality to you that there's none going to able to help you and save you from going down to a lost eternity, from going on to death and judgment as you came into this world? Are you thoroughly convinced? Is it a matter of real concern to you that none in this world, father or mother, brother or sister, son or daughter, husband or wife, can do anything for your salvation? You're not going to rest in their prayers. You're not going to rest in the prayers of this man, the prayers of that man. You're on your way to an endless eternity. You're not going to rest in the fact that your son or daughter, mother, wife or husband is a child of God, and that however near to God they may be, for none of those his brother can redeem by any way, nor can he unto God for him sufficient ransom pay. Is that where you are? Well, that's where Bartimaeus was. He was made very conscious that no one can help me, that no one can restore my sight of all the children of men. Why then does he, when the multitude comes and he hears them, why then does Bartimaeus begin to inquire what it means? Why does he not satisfy himself and say, "There's a multitude here. I know none of them can help me. I know that they can, at the most they can give me alms. And therefore, let me sit down now and let me expect to get many alms today, a day when a multitude of people are passing through this city of Jericho." But no, we find concerning this man, he makes inquiry. He makes inquiry after the reason for the multitude. Why is he making inquiry? What's in his mind? Obviously it's not his usual waiting and begging and expecting more money, more food, whatever they might give him. He did not need to know. It didn't matter what the occasion was. If that's all that was in his mind, it did not need to concern him with regard to what he would receive. All he needed to concern himself with was, the multitude is here. I know it, I hear it, I can see it, I can consider it. Though I cannot see, I know it's there, and I will get enough for my body for many a day. This will be a good day for me. I will get many a day out of this day. Ah, that's not the mind he had, friend. What about yourself? What about you, friend? Is that how you are living? From day to day and expecting much from the world, satisfied with what the world can give you, and satisfied with what you will get for your carnal and earthly appetite. Well, here he was. He was concerned about his sight. Deep down in his mind, there was something more to him. The arms were good. The food was good. The encouragement was welcome, a multitude. But deep down in his mind was this: I have a desire to see, to my sight to be restored. It must come to that with you. All earthly things must come to be of insignificance. Your money, your possession, your very family, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, whatever, friend, it is that occupies your mind so consistently and so persistently, it must come to this. Nothing matters with you primarily. There's a concern or something deeper down. The cry is there in your soul. What must I do to be saved? If what the man here in the chapter had, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's how it was with Bartimaeus. So, at the least sign, why did he ask then what the multitude are? Why is the multitude passing by? What's the meaning of it? Why is he asking? Well, we take it to be that he was asking because, as far as we can judge, his mind so deeply concerned about his blindness, he had not concluded, he had not come to conclude, I shall never see, I shall never receive my sight. Although he was convinced there was no man, and he could look in his right hand and his left as others did, I looked in my right hand and viewed, but none to know me where. All refuge failed me. No man did for my soul to care. You may be brought, friend, to that. You may be brought down to that conclusion. But where there is the end, where there is the beginning of faith, where there is the exit, where there is the beginning of that faith that's going to lead to salvation, where there is the very incipiency of the faith of God in the soul that sits at the bottom of it all. Who knows, I may one day receive my sight. Who knows, one day I may be saved, eh? Who knows, but one day I may obtain the salvation of my soul before I shut my eyes in death. Is that where you are, friend? Not in a lazy manner, not in a superficial manner, not in a manner saying, there's nothing I can do. No, that's not the way it was with him. He was not saying, there's nothing I can do. I cannot give myself sight. That's where some are. That's where some of you are. I cannot give myself sight. I cannot convert myself. Is that what you're saying, friend? Then notice that's a deceitful lie. That's a deceit of Satan. That's not how Bartimaeus was. Bartimaeus was not saying that. Bartimaeus was secretly saying, who knows, one day, my mind is thinking about it. Why? What made him think? What could make any sinner think that any day he may be saved? What would make any sinner in this world come to that conclusion, that it would be possible for him, a lost and ruined, guilty, conscience burning sinner, and a guilty sinner feeling his sins more and more, what friend can make that sinner conclude, one day I may, who knows, one day I may find salvation? Well, the answer is here. Behind that thought and behind that solicitation of soul, there's this, a revelation. Bartimaeus must have heard of the fact that there was one called Jesus of Nazareth. And he must have heard that Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good, and that Jesus of Nazareth was able to give the blind a sight according to the report he had heard. And that's what it begins with in your soul. You begin to hear, and you've heard the report, although it hasn't got grip of you, as it were, and Bartimaeus is where he is, and yet this is the beginning, this is the incipiency of it. It begins very, very low, it begins very weak. This is in Bartimaeus' mind. He revealed it to none. But he had heard of Jesus of Nazareth, and you have heard of Christ, you have heard of Jesus also. Has it wrought upon you, friend, this experience? Have you got this secret to exercise of heart with regard to Jesus of Nazareth? A desire coming into Bartimaeus, not only I may one day, but a desire coming in and a prayer in the heart of Bartimaeus. One day I would desire, oh, there's nothing on earth I would desire more than that Jesus of Nazareth would pass by, that Jesus of Nazareth would come within my reach. That was a prayer, we believe, in the heart of blind Bartimaeus. It's a prayer where the beginning of faith is in the soul. Although all is dark and all is clouded and all is, as it was with Bartimaeus, there's no sight, there's no seeing of Jesus. But there's this beginning. And therefore now, when he gets an inkling, there's a crowd. He had this to think of. I have heard concerning Jesus of Nazareth that sometimes he goes about with a crowd. Sometimes a multitude follows him. He is quick to perceive the possibility, if not the probability, that this is the long for occasion when I will meet with Jesus of Nazareth. He is quick to seize upon something that indicates this. For all I know, this may be Jesus of Nazareth passing by. And that's how it should be with you, friend, under the gospel. That's how you should be listening to the word of God. That's how you should be exercised in the means of grace. If you are rightly exercised here this evening, that's what you would be saying, and that's what you would be feeling. For he passes by. Now, Bartimaeus, having that in his mind, he inquires, what does it mean? He inquires with expectation. He could say, but I with expectation will hope continually. I with expectation will hope, my soul with expectation, wait thou upon the Lord alone. And here he was with expectancy asking, what does it mean? What does it mean to the multitude? Secretly expecting to hear something of Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to that, friend? Well, he asked the question, and he got the answer. And the answer was according to his will. The answer was according to his expectation. And whatever that question is, then, there will be an answer according to the expectation of the soul. Where the sinner is who is as Bartimaeus was, as I already described, without going over all that again, and where that sinner has a secret desire and secret expectation, and all he had was this, who knows? He had no ground for it. He had no real ground to say, he could not say, that Jesus of Nazareth would ever come to Jericho. But who knows, he may come to Jericho. He heard it was a Passover feast. It was the time of the Passover. And many were going up to Jerusalem Well, many have passed over and gone over. The head of Bartimaeus, as far as we can see. Many have passed over, and three or four of them at least, three at least, shall we say. On another occasion, he said to the disciples, he said to them that he could not go openly. They began to desire his destruction. However, whatever was true before, Bartimaeus had this. It's a Passover time, it's a time when, who knows, it's very likely Jesus of Nazareth may go up to the feast. I hear he goes to the feast anyway. Although I have not met him hitherto, and maybe he had not passed through Jericho in a public manner hitherto, whichever way he went to Jerusalem. But now, this is what he's saying. It's now time, and because the Passover is on, who knows, this may be the time when Jesus of Nazareth will pass by. And so it was when he inquired, he was told, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And that, dear friend, I say is the answer to you in connection with the means of grace and the Word of God and the gathering together of his people. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's the answer to the inquiring soul regarding the means of grace. Though things are as low as they are, and though the Lord has to a great extent left us as a generation and people and church and congregation, we cannot but compare what is present with what was past. We cannot but feel the terrible darkness and deadness of our day and the terrible desolation of our church and the hiding of the face of God compared with former times of divine blessing and presence in the means and ordinance of his house. So we are tempted not to look for anything. We're tempted not to expect anything in the means of grace. That's a temptation, though it is founded upon an awareness of the fact that we have grieved the Spirit of God to such a degree till Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The day will never come when Jesus of Nazareth will cease to pass by somewhere or other on this earth. The day will never come until all the election of grace are gathered in, when it will be said, Jesus of Nazareth no longer passes by. He passes by. And will he not be sure to pass by if there was a Bartimaeus? If there was a Bartimaeus, that's what we need, friend. If because we are all so whole, because of so little understanding of our condition, because we're so little affected by our spiritual state, because we're at ease in Zion, because we are full of ourselves and self-righteousness, that's why there is so little expectation and hope that Jesus of Nazareth will pass by. But if there was a blind Bartimaeus, then we could look for this. Jesus of Nazareth, what taking him now to Jerusalem? What taking him now to pass by? Well, he's not only got Bartimaeus, I'm not going to go on to it, but I noticed in one record someone has taken up the view, he's compared and contrasted Bartimaeus with Zacchaeus. A very interesting comparison. Here is Jesus, he's got two ends for going to pass by Jericho. A rich man, a poor man, and so on. I just happened to come across it in my reading. A contrast between the two, in very wonderful explanation and very precious in his own way, but I'm not going to go into that. It's not my own thoughts anyway. But here I'm concerned with this. If there was a Bartimaeus as well as a Zacchaeus, then we could expect Jesus of Nazareth to pass by. Now, when he is passing by, what do we find? The sinner who is expecting this, and the sinner who is hearing this message, that Jesus of Nazareth is still passing by. Here's the first great difficulty solved. Unbelief would be saying to him before this, He'll never pass by your way. That's where it begins. Unbelief. If you, friend, begin, if faith begins in your soul, if the beginning of faith by the Holy Ghost is wrought upon you, then immediately upon that will be found an awareness of unbelief, an experience of unbelief. And the voice of unbelief is this: He'll never pass your way. He'll never come near your soul. That's the voice of unbelief. What's the use of me expecting it, Bartimaeus? But his faith overcame. He could say, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe he'll pass by. And now he has the assurance of this. He is passing by. What then does Bartimaeus do? Bartimaeus immediately seeks to get his cure, his remedy. This is the opportunity he longed for, and now that opportunity has come his way. And he's not going to miss it. He's not going to miss it anymore, as I say, about the one to Zacchaeus. He was the same mind, up the tree. Bartimaeus here is not going to miss the opportunity of Jesus of Nazareth and him meeting. And should you not be the same if you believe now that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by in the gospel? He's not going to miss the opportunity, but rather, we're told, he began to cry out. He began to cry out to Jesus of Nazareth. He began to say, Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. He cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's not seeing him. He doesn't know how far off Jesus is. He may be tempted to say, he'll never hear your cry. Although the multitude is here and Jesus sung from the midst, he's not going to hear your cry, Bartimaeus. That's what the devil will say to you. He's not going to hear your cry. What's the use of praying? What's the use of your praying to Jesus? But Bartimaeus cried nevertheless, Jesus. That name was precious to him. He understood a little of what it meant. He was called Jesus because he was the very one whom Bartimaeus needed, a Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Is that not what you need? Is that not what you're looking for? Is it not the Savior from your sins that you're looking for? Is it not the Savior from the consequence of your sin and from sin itself? Is it not he that you're looking for? Therefore you cry, Jesus. However, he adds this, thou son of David. The crowd did not tell him that. They did not come and say to him, Jesus, the son of David, is passing by. No, they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Well, there may be many reasons for that. Why did they say, Jesus of Nazareth? Why did they not say to him, Jesus, the son of David, Jesus, the prophet of Israel, as you were hearing the prophet, the great prophet? Why did they not say to him, Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the Savior? They said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Well, they may have invaded reasons for saying that to him. And he may have understood something of what was in that word, Jesus of Nazareth. It may have been, for all we know, a familiar name, a name of making him to be near to him. Although we know Nazareth was a place of disrepute, and the name of Nazareth was not an exalted name. Nevertheless, it may have been a familiar name, but it's not the name that he takes up. He doesn't say, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, Jesus, thou son of David. And therefore it is very important, what are we thinking of when we ask Jesus to save us? Is it Jesus of Nazareth? Or is it Jesus, thou son of David? What view have you of Jesus? Have you the view that he had? Thou son of David. Now that expression, the son of David, brings us back to the Old Testament. You know of David, and you know of all that was said concerning David. And you know of what Jesus himself said on one occasion when they were arguing about the power and authority of Christ. He said unto them, how did David say in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord? If he's David's son, how is he David's Lord? And this is the matter here before us, that Bartimaeus had a view of the promise of the son of David. For God promised that of the seed of David would come the great Savior, the great Messiah. So that in saying the son of David, Bartimaeus is thinking back to the promise that God gave concerning a Savior to come of the seed of David. And when you begin to pray, when you begin to seek the salvation of your soul, your mind must be directed to the promise. God, friend, has made a promise. In the beginning of the world, he gave forth a promise. And that promise was confirmed in the days of David, that there would come of the seed of David, there would come of the seed of David, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And therefore, when this man is crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, he is thinking in terms of the promise of God, the Savior to come. He was to be more than Jesus of Nazareth. He was at the same time to be the great Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, whatever else. He was to be the Son of God. That's the great matter. Jesus, thou Son of David. As the Son of David, thou art the Son of God. The promised Messiah. That's what he cried unto Jesus for. And that's where you cry. It's not a mere cry. Jesus of Nazareth. You cry, friend, to the Lord for salvation. Is it that you believe? You believe he is the Son of God. You believe he is the appointed and anointed of the Father. You believe that Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, is the very one who was in heaven as the Son of God and is in heaven. You thoroughly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what makes you entertain the hope that he is able to hear and able to answer the cry. That's what made Bartimaeus believe. It's because he's Jesus, the Son of David, that he will be able to help me. No one else can. Jesus, thou Son of David. What comfort he got in that. The promise through David of the Messiah. The promised Messiah. God has made a promise to you. God has made a promise to you, as he made a promise to the world and to the church. He had made that promise concerning the Savior, that there would come of the seed of the woman, that there would come into this world a Savior. He made that promise to man, and that promise is made to you, and that's the promise you have. And here is this man believing the promise that God promised a Savior. And this is the Savior that God has promised. And that's what they had to believe. Under the Old Testament, they had to believe that God promised a Messiah, God promised a Savior. And now in the New Testament, they had to believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the one. And that's what you are to believe, that Jesus is the one whom God promised in the beginning to be a Savior that he would send into the world. And where that is believed, then there is the cry, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. must be on the promise. You cannot pray to God apart from having your eye upon the promise. You have a right to pray. You have a right to Christ. The sinner has a right to Christ. The sinner has a right to Christ. You have a right to Christ in the promise of God. He promised to send a Savior, the Savior of the world, into the world. And now you're told that person is Jesus of Nazareth, and therefore you are called upon to believe and to do what Bartimaeus did. Cry to him, Jesus, thou son of David, thou Messiah, thou promised Savior. That's all he could say. Now what did he pray? He prayed this, have mercy on me. That's all. Have mercy on me. What does that mean? It means this, friend. He prayed to the Savior without any plea, without saying he had any ground to argue why he should be listened to. He had nothing to say to the Lord as to why he should have his prayer heard, his prayer answered. You have nothing to say. That's why you come to bow down to the sovereignty of God. You know you have no claim upon the mercy of God. You have no claim upon the mercy of God. It's all in the hands of Him. Have mercy on me. I have nothing to plead but that. I have nothing to hold for. I'm a beggar, I'm blind, I'm lost, I'm sinful. I'm a wicked, undone sinner. I've got nothing but this to plead. Have mercy on me. Why? Well, because he saw the mercy of God was all in Christ revealed. It's not a cry like the world have for mercy. Many ones going to eternity crying, God be merciful. And they're going down to hell. Because they don't know what that means. What does it mean when they say, God be merciful? But when he cried to Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried to him, friend, as the one who had the mercy of God to be revealed. For the mercy of God is only revealed in Christ and Him crucified. This person is the one who opened up the way for the mercy of God to reach to a perishing sinner. Not a case of saying, God be merciful. The cry, God be merciful, is not a cry that's going to be heard, except and unless it's seen in this way. The only way that God can be merciful, the only way that God is merciful to sinners, is through Christ coming into the world to die, to suffer, and to endure all that you have to endure, to open up the way for the mercy of God to reach you. And then you cry to Jesus, thou son of David, let the mercy of God flow through thee to me. That's what you're really saying. Let me get a drop of the mercy of God that flows through the crucified Christ. It's through a crucified Christ the mercy of God reaches a guilty sinner. And that's what he has here. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Is that your prayer, friend? Is your eye upon the mercy of God? revealed in Christ? Have you seen spiritually the mercy of God finding a channel to flow in the death and suffering of Christ? It's shut up in the bosom of God. The mercy of God is shut up from you in the bosom of the Almighty God. It can only flow to you through the channel which God has made in the death and suffering of His Son. And therefore, Christ reveals the mercy of God. And you rise upon that revelation when you are saying, "Have mercy upon me, thou son of David." Now we notice, he cried. What happened was, the people rebuked him to be quiet, to hold his peace. If you are really praying, if you are really asking for salvation, if you are really concerned about your soul, and earnestly crying to Jesus for mercy, then you may be sure there will be opposition to tell you to stop, to hold your peace. That never a cry went out of the soul of a sinner, but the devil from hell came forth to silence it. There's no use your praying, there's no use your crying. That's what they were saying to Bartimaeus. Hold your peace. That cry will not penetrate the ears of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth. Your cry will not enter into the ears of Jesus. Whosoever cry will hear. He'll not hear your cry. That's what the devil says. That's what unbelief says. And that's what your sin says. Your sins come before you in such enormities. Your sin comes before you in such blackness that many a day you are confronted with this. How can you cry for mercy? You've been guilty of such sins. How can you expect mercy? How can you expect blessing? That's the multitude telling you, hold your peace. The multitude of sins that are staring you in the face. Many a day they tell you to hold your peace. What did he do? He cried the more. He didn't get a new prayer. And you do not get a new prayer. You do not go and find out some other way whereby I can get to Christ. He didn't go and find out some other way whereby I can find salvation. You do not find out another way. You're stuck to this way. It's the only way you know. It's the only way that the Spirit of God teaches you. It's the only way that you're going to be led. If I perish, I perish here. Like another said, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish here. If I do not get my sight, I do not get my sight here. I'm not going to stop crying. If he passes by, then that is it. He passes by. Whatever happens, I am not going to do anything else. I have no other move. I have no other idea. The only way I know is this: to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, passing by, have mercy on me." That's the language of the Spirit of God. That's the language of the grace of God in your soul. As faith answered to water in faith. And remember, that's what it's all about. This is set before you to show you how it is that a sinner comes to receive the blessing of God. As faith answered to faith in water, your faith answered to this man. This is where you are, this is what you know. You've come to this. Let the multitude say for the like. Let the multitude close my mouth. And they would do that if they could. But my needs are such, and my soul salvation is so precious in my own eyes, that if I perish, I'll perish here, crying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And what was the end of his persistence in crying? And what encouragement is here to the sinner to persist in waiting upon God, crying unto him for mercy? For what happens is this: Jesus hears that cry. Amid all the din of the company, and all the attempt to silence that cry, Jesus hears that cry. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. And if you have that cry, dear friend, in your soul, whatever difficulties, whatever temptations, whatever arguments may be used, you are to know this, that Jesus hears that cry. That's what you have for eternity. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Has Jesus changed? Can there be a sinner with that cry as Bartimaeus had, and Jesus not respond to that cry? Can he? Is that, friend, the use you are making of the means of grace? Is that what you are saying when you hear that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by? Is that your natural response, by the grace of God, that you are crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me? No one else matters. Your eyes are not on anyone else. You're seeing no one in such need as yourself. You're not looking at this man and that man and thinking they're great sinners and wicked people. You're looking at yourself, you're seeing yourself. You've got no eyes for anybody but yourself. And your cry is this: be merciful to me. Have mercy upon me. And Jesus heard that cry and gave a command to tell Bartimaeus. Not only did Jesus hear it, that's one thing. He heard the cry of the woman that was running after him, long before she got to know that he heard her cry. She was saying, he's not hearing my cry. That's what she was saying. He heard it long before. He gave her to know, I'm hearing it. That's his sovereignty. The great matter for you and me is this: he's hearing that cry. But could Bartimaeus rest at peace in simply knowing that he hears my cry? How am I to know? How am I to know, says Bartimaeus, how am I to know that he hears my cry? How are you to know that he hears your cry? Well, he commanded. He commanded them that were going to make him silent. He commanded them to go and bring Bartimaeus. Arise, he calleth for thee. He calleth for thee. And you may be assured, friend, as sure as this was true of him, it's assured tonight, if that's who you are, he is calling you. In the same way, he called Bartimaeus and saying to him, "What would you that I should do to you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. May he bless his word and his prayer. O Lord, come with thy Holy Spirit to make thy word real. That we would not be trifling with our souls on the brink of an endless eternity. That we would see the preciousness of the blood of Jesus and of our souls being under that blood. That we would be saved for eternity. That we would have the faith of God's elect. That we would be numbered among those who cried, and God heard their cry. Oh, do thou teach us. Pour on us thy Holy Spirit. Take away our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.